Have you ever had the experience of being told something in passing, but really did not understand what you had heard? Or maybe you understood it, but you did not think it related to you. Or maybe you just disregarded it since it was well beyond reality and just nonsense. But then later something occurred in your life in which brought this past statement to life. And you say to yourself, oh yeah, now I understand. Now I know what I was told way back then. I guess this could be labeled as deferred learning. Maybe it all centered around one of those expressions heard as a child, like, it's better to give than to receive. Now, to a child, who thinks the world revolves around them and therefore life is all about receiving? To a child, this statement makes no sense at all. How in the world can anyone believe that? It's better to give than to receive. After all, who doesn't think birthdays and Christmas are the greatest because of the gifts that are received? Now that is pretty much the mindset of a child. It isn't until later in life that we begin to experience the truth. The truth in that statement, and then suddenly we say, oh, now I understand. Now I see what they tried to tell me a long time ago. It is then that the joy of giving becomes so all important. And it is better to give than to receive makes all the sense in the world. Now, this is sort of what Pentecost is all about. And let me try to build you up to this fact. In our gospel lesson, John relates that Philip asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. This is a case in which, although the disciples had been with Jesus, hearing his teachings and witnesses, his miracles, it all just had not sunk in. Jesus was still misunderstood. This was his opportunity to spell out very clearly who he was. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Now, this could not have been any clearer. Jesus was stating that he was the very incarnation of God. Now his disciples, who could only relate to Jesus as a man, could only see him in human terms, as being a rabbi, a teacher, a prophet, a miracle worker, and possibly the traditional Messiah. Being God in the form of man was off the radar screen and beyond any comprehension. It wouldn't be this later that the aha moment would come when they experienced the resurrected Christ. It was not until then that Jesus reply to Philip would begin to be understood and believed. But there was just more to come in order for more complete answer. Jesus continued with an even more mystifying statement. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. If the concept of the incarnation was difficult for the disciples to understand, then the way still remains difficult for many, even to today. Then the concept of some kind of invisible or mystical spirit abiding with and in them is well beyond their rational patterns of thinking and believing. What do you mean? A spirit? Not only would this spirit be hanging around, but Jesus further states, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Now, wait a minute. Am I hearing this correctly? A spirit, a Holy Spirit, will actually teach me? How can a spirit who has no human voice or no human body teach us? After all, we communicate with words and actions, what we see and hear. This was the most irrational of all to comprehend at that moment. It would only take on significance and meaning after the resurrection and the ascension. Everything would begin to make sense some 50 days after the Passover. At Passover, at the Feast of the Weeks, the celebration of harvests of wheat or Pentecost. This was the first occasion that the disciples of Jesus would be together to celebrate a traditional Jewish festival after the Passover in the upper room. This time the disciples were not alone, but were with many others. Some were also followers of Jesus. Many of the witnesses to the Pentecost scene were Jews. In fact, devout Jews who had come from all over the known world, representing all nations and languages. They were Jews who now resided in Jerusalem. Now, seeing the large gathering of people and hearing the strange noise that they were making, they came to see what was going on. And as they drew even closer, they heard many languages being spoken. Many languages. What was amazing and bewildering was that they heard the languages of each of their native lands. As they listened, they began to be able to distinguish what they were saying, even though altogether it must have been an indistinguishable muddle of sounds and noises. According to the writer of Acts, they began to hear their own native tongues. He writes, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. Now you can imagine, being one of these witnesses to this strange and bewildering scene, before they arrived, the disciples and followers had experienced an even stranger event. Suddenly there was a rush of wind throughout the house, as if they were outside in the middle of a windstorm. And just as suddenly there appeared in their midst, suddenly in their midst, tongues of fire, which divided and rested upon each one of them. Tongues of fire. The mystical experience was a sign that God's presence was with them, just as it was with Moses through the burning bush. God's presence was not only surrounding them, but became a part of them. Immediately, they must have reflected upon Jesus' words, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Now we understand. This is the advocate, the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised, and that we, at the time, did not comprehend. Now we see, we now experience the very Spirit of God in us. The joy of finally understanding and experiencing the presence of God through the Holy Spirit caused them to burst out in excitement, enthusiasm, and expression of their emotions. The best way to describe this is when we have an exhilarating experience which so overwhelms us that we want to share the experience with others. It just bubbles out of us. When filled with the Holy Spirit, when filled with God's overwhelming love and forgiveness, when filled with the Spirit of God's grace, then we must find ways of expressing this to others. The Pentecost experience is just not an event which happened 2,000 years ago. It is an experience which is continually living with us. Every time we feel the presence of God, the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are minded of the rush of the wind and the tongues of fire and the desire to live the love of God with our fellow man. Even though we experience such a presence, we may at times wish to extinguish that flame, deny God's presence, his will and his love. But through it all, the promise of Jesus' words, the advocate will be with us forever, that flame will continue to return. God's grace will always relight the flame of his love within you and within me. No matter how many times we try to extinguish it, this is the experience of Pentecost, and it lives within you and me. This experience of Pentecost makes us realize it is better to give than to receive. For that is what being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with God's love is all about. It's better to give than to receive. That is God's love. That is Pentecost. Amen.